would you like to be able to increase your property's value with interior design? Paige Bird will tell us how. She is the owner and co-president of Teal and Team, an architectural interior design and procurement firm specializing in hospitality and multi-family amenities. So Paige, tell us, how can entrepreneurs increase their property's value with interior design?
Property Wealth Strategies podcast with Lily Patrashko shares world's most influential property investors, sharing their strategies for making money with property.
Well, a lot of how we help our clients is really kind of honing in on, you know, if they're acquiring properties and doing value add projects, what the demographic and kind of what the trends are that a lot of residents are looking for in their homes. And especially as housing becomes more and more expensive, attainable housing has become something that has really been top of mind for a lot of developers and owners. And what that looks like for us and for our clients is, you know, they might be purchasing a 1990s vintage property or perhaps early 2000s and figuring out what the right program is. If they're going to introduce wellness, lifestyle, fitness, expand upon that, or even co-working and work from home as part of the amenities mix, we help them really reallocate square footage for amenities to help engage residents and community, and to also really lean into regional cultural influence for the property, and brand it so it's really specific and makes it special. And that, you know, that goes hand in hand with the marketing for the property, and then, you know, also kind of what a key demographic is for the area that they're in. It's always a collaborative effort because so many of the operation teams, you know, they know what they're hearing that the residents want. And that ranges really just depending on where the property is, if it has any sort of adjacencies to trails or green space or parks. So we help identify those things and lean into it so we can add the most value as interiors to help them plan what that program looks like for any residents or guests to come in and really start utilizing the space that is an extension of their home.
Thank you. So tell us some hacks that entrepreneurs can leverage in order to increase their property's value, considering that, I mean, you have so many variables, okay? But are there any particular hacks that regular entrepreneurs could look at and say, okay, let me try to implement this kind of thing in order to make my property, you know, increase in value?
I think, you know, hacks right off the top, because budget is always something that we're working with our clients on. And not everybody can do, you know, multi-million transformational renovations. So, you know, if you're looking at how to upgrade what you have now, a lot of the hack is figuring out how to be really strategic with what your scope of work is. And for us, a lot of time, what that looks like is it's a cosmetic and FF&E type of renovation where, you know, we're upgrading paint colors and cabinets and tile and decorative lighting. So you're not having to rework the entire space, but you get a nice upgrade and a nice refresh that's more current with the comps. That helps, you know, and it's done quickly. So, you know, it's, you know, time and money. So figuring out what's best for you. And if it's not the transformational renovation, okay, maybe, you know, we bought this and we need to do some quick unit upgrades on the turn and then upgrade our amenity spaces with cosmetic touches. That's where we see a lot of a hack there. It's just kind of figuring out how to leverage your money to get the best result.
Thank you. Tell us about the psychology of spaces in your property. How can you leverage that to make the most of what you've got?
Yeah. The psychology of spaces these days and what we're seeing a lot with interiors is just wellness and connection with indoor-outdoor. You know, a lot of what we'll do is if there is any sort of obstructed view to a pool or outdoor space, you know, we may come in and replace windows with glass walls or glass doors. So there's more of an adjacency and we can get that kind of indoor outdoor amenity space that kind of helps bring the outdoors in. that's one thing that we're really noticing. And even with color palettes, you know, we're seeing more trend towards warmth, where, you know, a few years ago, everything was, you know, white box or grays. And now people really want to experience more natural elements inside of their interior environments. It makes them feel more at peace. And, you know, as mental health has become such a topic over the last few years, creating vignettes and spaces for quiet time, you know, even in fitness and wellness programming, having, you know, a meditation garden or an area where people can kind of go and sit quietly, low lights, more kind of like a upscale yoga studio instead of your typical classroom. A lot of those amenities are changing in the shift to, you know, feeling the warmth and embrace and almost like a spa-like hospitality environment instead of a stark white box or gray environment.
Thank you. What do entrepreneurs, what should entrepreneurs consider including in order to give the illusion of extra space?
Illusion of extra space. Well, smart space planning is one. And being really intentional with how you're programming spaces so they're multifunctional. You know, years and years ago, whenever you would walk into, you know, a leasing office or even, you know, hotel lobbies, there were so much zones and big giant desks, and it was very transactional. And, you know, we're seeing a shift now. You can gain square footage just simply by being smart about how ops is working and doing more of the more current concierge style, you know, desking and having tables and chairs and lounge spaces. So each space that used to be zoned for one specific thing now can operate for multiple functions. And that's just, you know, utilizing existing square footage wisely and making sure that you're getting the most out of what you have. And then, you know, as we're looking at, you know, club rooms and, you know, the way of having more of a formal setup, we're doing the same thing there, where it's environments where it's set up for, you know, working by day, like co-working spaces and private, like small conference rooms where somebody can come and bring their computer down and work. And then, you know, in evenings, it's designed so people still want to hang out there. You know, they want to come down with their neighbors, with their friends, with their communities, and be in one area and environment together. So really the shift in making sure that you're ensuring that the square footage that you're designing can be used any hour of the day is the best way that we as designers can help support our clients to make sure that they're leveraging their property and their spaces.
Thank you. Tell us about the client avatar that would typically be living in a multifamily amenity. And how does an entrepreneur manage to meet functionality with the luxury or the illusion of luxury? What would they need to include in terms of items or, I don't know, interior design techniques that would kind of give the kind of entrepreneurs that would live there the luxury functionality and, you know.
You know, what we do a lot of times, because hospitality and multifamily, while they serve one another really well, and we learn a lot from both, we understand that, you know, not everything has to be a focal feature. So when we're leaning into and figuring out how to design these spaces, we really figure out what those key opportunities are, focal features, and whether that is, you know, a living green wall or a beautiful three-dimensional wall or millwork detail with specialty lighting. We like to design those things where they can kind of stand alone. So that's, you know, your luxury component. And then forward thinking as far as how you're designing the spaces, you know, we have in developments, new developments now, you know, we're looking at maker spaces. We're looking at spaces where people can touch down and do podcasts, where you have the acoustic properties that, you know, if you don't want to be inside your place, or if you need a little bit more privacy and have the equipment. It's just getting really creative and thinking about how the world is changing and staying one or two steps in front of that and creating the spaces that, you know, different people can find what they need based on their lifestyle, their career, and what their interests are.
Thank you. How can a property investor, how can they kind of include the kind of elements that the market trends are seeking?
I think... And our clients are really good about this. a lot of market research, you know, going out and visiting the comps, seeing what's out there, seeing what people are talking about, and, you know, kind of thinking outside the box. It's not just the property down the street, but what are the local businesses that are really busy, and what about them is drawing people in? Is it the service? Is it the environment? Is it just a feeling of true being authentic to a neighborhood that kind of makes people want to come in? And being able to take the best of what's around you to create an environment inside of your property, you know, make it your own. Obviously, we don't want to be just stamping out what somebody else has done, but taking inspiration from around and seeing what's working is something that we really try to do to make sure that the community, one, isn't only engaging for its residents, but it's also a place that people around, they might not live there, but maybe they will one day. And whenever they see the things that are happening at one property that's successful other places and is, you know, kind of calls to you and beckons you, whether it's, you know, introducing local art or there's, you know, places and venues for communities to gather, not just somebody that lives there, but, you know, dog parks, trail systems, any sort of connectivity that really embraces a property as a whole and as part of the whole community.
Thank you. You're multi-award winning. And yes. I'm wondering what kind of properties have led to you becoming award winning? What kind of elements did you include in those properties that made them so spectacular?
You know, we have a fantastic team. And one thing that I will say about our team that we do really well, and if you go to our website, you'll see this. Nothing that we do, there's not really any property that looks the same, because we really custom tailor our design for the client, for the property. And a lot of design firms out there, I think that you could say they definitely have a look. You know, you can look and see what the work and be like, oh, well, so-and-so did this, so-and-so did that. And we are not that. You know, we've won awards in hospitality for a lot of golf and country clubs, historic preservation, renovation projects that span from, you know, commercial office all the way, you know, multifamily, specialty design features. So I think just having a diversified portfolio, a diversified client mix, and also really leaning into each property to figure out property specific, what the details and what the design needs to make that property stand alone, if that makes sense.
Yes. Tell us, what else can entrepreneurs do and property investors do to increase their property's value? What other little tips and tricks?
Oh, gosh. Well, obviously the investment in the interiors, you know, not only just in the public spaces, but also, you know, rooms and corridors, outdoor spaces, anything that's going to attract someone and be able to make them visualize themselves there. We've never seen, you know, where that didn't pay off, and really recognizing and thinking about, okay, I have the square footage and it's not being utilized for anything right now, really. So how can we leverage this space to make it work? We did a club, in California, Ruby Hill, and they didn't have a dedicated member bar and grill, and they had a giant laundry facility. We ended up going into the laundry facility that was, you know, back of house area, and created a beautiful wine cave and a really upscale high-end dining experience with the member bar connected to it, an additional private member entry. And we do things like that a lot. You know, we'll take another example, laundry facilities on some older multifamily. You know, you have the plumbing there, you have the drainage. So creating a dog spa and an adjacent dog park, if you have the green space and you have something that's not utilized, because most units have washers and dryers in them now. So how can we take what is existing and make it relevant to what people need and want today, and then engage community with what surrounds it? Because dog people usually like to hang out with other dog people. So that's something that we is just kind of a common thread in multifamily and a lot of different developments right now.
Thank you. What other elements should property investors consider if they want to increase their property's value with interior design?
I would say looking at the area around you, And then, you know, if you have a trail system, if you have parks, if there are a lot of people that ride bikes, figuring out a way to include an amenity to engage that as part of the property is a really big thing. So a lot of what we do, we'll do bike storage and bike like fixed lounges where there's an area that people can bring their bikes, they can work on them, fix them. And it's not, you know, utilitarian, it's outfitted so it feels like a space that you want to hang out and engage with people. I think just being really smart about what's around you and how you can leverage that to increase your amenity offerings is something that we're seeing has gained huge traction and is just continuing to grow.
Thank you. How can property investors include the element of sustainability in interior design in order to increase their property's value?
You know, a lot of energy codes now, it's pretty typical whenever we're doing any sort of value add or even new development, you know, LED lighting, low flow plumbing fixtures. Whenever you're talking through a lot of sustainable materials. So many of our wonderful manufacturers and vendors, they're already leading the charge on that. And just trying to be responsible about manufacturing and using recyclable materials is something that has become pretty standard for us. And then, you know, we have some clients that they want to take it to the next level. And even now our furniture vendors, you know, utilizing reclaimed wood product and making sure that we're sourcing from vendors and manufacturers where there's not going to be a long transit time, you know, so that's kind of carbon footprint from, you know, trucking things across the country or having to bring product in from a long way away. So for us, it's really anything that's attached to the building, there's an opportunity, as well as, you know, just as simple as your furnishings. There's opportunity all the way around for sustainability.
Thank you. How can property investors consider the habits of potential renters or potential buyers so that they can plan for the potential tenant or, you know, buyer for their habits, for what they prefer to have in their house?
Well, market research again. Smart home technology has been big, right, inside of homes, and that translates down to multifamily. And ensuring, you know, and it's kind of the small things, but, you know, where you have an outlet in places where, you know, people are going to be charging devices, it's not just an outlet. You have already, you know, your USB and connections for, you know, charging your phones, your iPads, your tablets, those types of things. And then that also goes back, you know, to the amenity program and what the feedback that they're getting from the residents is. You know, do they have a large number of residents or owners that do work from home and they want a place to step outside of their actual door and come and sit down and be around people? Getting that feedback and then figuring out the best and most efficient way to apply it.
Thank you. What are some challenges that you've experienced with interior design and increasing people's property value, and how did you overcome them?
Well, there's been a lot, especially recently with, you know, just cost of materials, cost of labor. Budgets don't stretch as far as they used to. So what we like to do is, you know, if we're starting with the client and they have a budget in mind, that's a very transparent conversation. It's really hard to hit a target with a blindfold on. So we just ask, you know, if you have those numbers, please share them with us. If not, and you want to say, let's design, shoot for the stars, let's do that. And then know if we have to scale back and value engineer, we have a priority list on what's most important to you to least important to you. And then, you know, as we have to peel things away, if we do have to peel things away, we know we're not going to sacrifice the thing that is most important to the investor.
Thank you. Tell us where entrepreneurs can find you.
You can find us on our website, tealandteam.com, and it's spelled TIEL ANDTEAM.com. We also have a LinkedIn page, and you can look us up on YouTube. We have some amazing videos of some project installations, as well as just some really cool cultural videos about our team. You can see a lot about who we are as an organization.
Thank you.
Follow me for more property wealth strategies.